Is it Sunday yet? Almost. Welcome into the Almost Sunday Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Derek, joined by Not Your Average Joe's, Joe Beldner, Joe Mason here. It is the off week before the Super Bowl, but we still got plenty of football to talk about. We are going to go over our picks from last week. We're going to talk about some big, what are they called? Hot takes, bold predictions that we made in August in episode 9, way back when. We're going to see how we did on those. We're also going to do our picks for the Super Bowl. We'll talk about the Super Bowl more next week, but I want to get those lines in now. And then we'll talk about Dynasty. We had some shakeups with coaching changes and a lot of rumors swirling around with quarterbacks around the league. So without further ado, how are we doing, guys?
Man, I could be better if my Niners lost, but, you know, I'm pretty proud of how they've been the past few years. They've been in the hunt. They made it to a Super Bowl, made it to 3 out of the last 4 NFC championships. So, you know, that's some solid track record. They just got to make a couple changes to get over the hunt. But, yeah, Derek, congrats to your Eagles making it to the big game.
Thank you. It was the least stressful NFC championship that I can recall ever. Yeah. And I mean, 5 years ago, the Eagles beat the Vikings 38-7. Mm-hmm. But I mean, even that one, they started out in the hole 7-0 and came back 38 unanswered. But I mean, when the other team literally has nobody that can throw the ball, besides, I guess, Christian McCaffrey, who had that one touchdown pass during his regular season campaign, I mean, I don't think there was ever any doubt what the outcome would be. And if they somehow managed to lose that game, it would be so much more embarrassing than impressive for the 49ers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as a non-biased fan, it was a big disappointment. Because I feel like the 49ers defense, like you look at the final score and it looked like the game got out of hand. But like first half going into the third quarter before like they really had major quarterback issues, I feel like the 49ers defense was really keeping them in the game. So I would have liked to see at least, you know, healthy Purdy, what it could have been. Just having him out there, not being able to throw the ball, like it was really brutal to have to watch. I hope the Super Bowl is going to be better.
Well, now the window is back open for Trey Lance to come waltzing back in.
Oh, yeah.
With Brock Purdy out for like 6 months with a UCL injury that you only usually see in like baseball.
Right. It's honestly probably the best case scenario for them is to have this
now
injury.
Now they can avoid the drama and be like, mm-hmm. Oh, Purdy's not healthy. Trey Lance is healthy. He's the guy. We'll see what happens.
I wonder what his redraft value is going to be like next year if he's the QB1 heading into week 1.
Trey Lance?
Yeah.
We're probably going like to play not much that has game changed. Again. We're just going to start the motions again. Good grief. Because people want him to be Jalen Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so.
Justin Fields.
Let's talk. I mean, anything else? How are you doing, Joe? Joe Beldner?
Doing well. Yeah, I was telling you guys, I'm going to Aruba on Sunday for a week. So I'm looking forward to getting out of the cold weather because in the New York City area, it's getting very cold this weekend. But on the downside of it, I booked this flight months ago and didn't realize that I'm going to be on a flight during the Super Bowl. So I'm going to have to figure out either watching the game on the plane because there's no other flights going on that I could work out in my schedule. So that's an all-time bad on my account. But luckily, I'm not too invested on the game other than just, you know, really – enjoying watching great football, which I expect the Super Bowl to be. So that's kind of a bummer.
When is the last Super Bowl that you missed?
It's been a very long time.
I know mine.
Yeah, when the Niners lost to the Seahawks in the NFC Championship, when they blew out the Broncos, I did not watch that Super Bowl. I was just I couldn't watch the Seahawks win their first Super Bowl. I was like, I don't want to watch it. So that was the last one for me.
Wait, what? Yeah, there was one. I think it was similar for me where There was that Broncos Super Bowl. No, there was the Broncos Super Bowl where they blew out the other team.
The Panthers?
Yeah. I think I missed parts of that one. But the one that I pretty much missed the entirety of was 49ers versus the Ravens in 2013.
Mm. Yeah. Okay.
And that was because I was not in the United States. I was in Denmark. And it was like, I'm like, okay, I guess I could like go downtown to watch the game. It starts at like midnight. The game starts at midnight. I was like, I don't care enough.
Yeah, these it's a teams, long night. These teams That'd be a long night in Denmark.
Yeah, because I had class the next day, and I'm just like, no, I'm just not going to do it. So I missed that Super Bowl. Definitely not missing this one, but yeah. Joe Beldner might be missing it.
Even as a kid, I remember like before I really started to love football, it was always just like social thing, going to parties, and then, you know, like loving the commercials and stuff like that. I can't remember what year it was, but I remember there was one year when the 3D glasses got very cool. And like every commercial, like you wanted the 3D glasses for.
Wasn't it the Doritos commercial with the 3D Doritos? They brought those back recently. I saw them in the store. I don't think
they need to bring the 3D glasses back too.
Yeah. Yeah. The blue and red. I don't know. Jeez, we're off track. Anyway, let's talk about the championship weekend, our pick review. The first game, the NFC Championship, Philadelphia -2.5, over under of 46. The Eagles won the game, as we know, 31-7. It was not close. Maybe I'm just remembering incorrectly, but I think I'm right in saying that I said the only way that the over was going to hit was if it was a blowout and not like some 25-23 game. And it was almost that, but the Eagles just didn't have to score anymore. So they slowed down the tempo, killed clock. Mason took San Francisco in the under. He was wrong. I don't know what else to say. I'm sorry, buddy.
That's all right. We all got the unders, you know.
Which, Joe and I both took Philadelphia in the under, and that was the accurate call. The next game on the slate, Kansas City -1 was the line that we had at recording over Cincinnati with the over-under at 47. Cincinnati lost 23-20. Mason took Cincinnati in the over. Neither of those were correct. Joe took Kansas City in the over. Got the Kansas City part right. And I took Cincinnati in the under. I should have joined forces with Joe there and took Kansas City. But overall, I felt slighted by that game. That was just crap.
I don't know.
I mean, it was the right call at the end, the push out of bounds. Okay, that's a penalty. But it's so lame to have the game end on that.
It is.
I mean, is Bucker gonna make a 60-yarder?
Probably not.
Probably not. I guess they had 8 seconds. I don't know if they had timeouts. They had 8 seconds to get a little bit closer if there wasn't that penalty. The clock was stopped, but I don't know if they had timeouts to take in order to kick the field goal. In general, I mean, I root for the Cincinnati Bengals now because I live here. So it was a bit disappointing. However, I did avoid a house divided, so I don't have to be against the rooting interests of my extended married family because they're all Cincinnati fans, and that would have been a little bit awkward on Super Bowl Sunday rooting for the Eagles while everyone else is rooting for the Bengals. So yeah. I avoided that.
After that Eagles win, my cousin Dave just moved to Philly like a year or two ago, and he was sending me like Snapchats from the streets there, just like people climbing up telephone poles, like fires all around, like it looked like post-apocalyptic. Like part of me would want to live there, and then the other part of me is glad that I'm a couple hours away. It is crazy. They are crazy people.
I heard they had to grease the
poles. It's like a meme now, though.
Yeah, I was like texting him earlier in the day, like way before game time, and he's like, "Yeah, they're closing. Police are closing down streets around me already. Like they're preparing. They're just Eagles fans are built different. The whole silly city of Philadelphia is crazy. So I'm very into it. It's a good crazy.
Yeah.
What do we got going on?
A tweet from the Fantasy Gazette. The parody, just a funny thing that says, Per TMZ, the fantasy football counselor is dating Margot Robbie.
Oh, my God.
That's like a meme going around. Everyone's dating Margot Robbie. NFL players are dating Margot Robbie. It's all fake news. I just thought it was funny.
Everyone wishes.
Because that guy is that guy is also a meme.
Yeah. Something else.
All right. So let's go back. Let's go back to how we were feeling in August. We were coming up with bold predictions. We were excited for the season. Let's see how we did. Who wants to start?
Yeah, I could start. So I'm glad you pulled this up, Derek. Some of these are interesting. So my number one was...
That was Beldner, by the way. Beldner pulled them up.
Oh, cool. All right. Sorry, yeah, Joe. But I'll give
no
you the credit.
No credit needed. All good.
So, yeah, my first two were bad. Let's see. I had Higgins over Jamar Chase, fantasy points for this year. And, yeah, Chase still missed four games, and he still beat Higgins, who, you know, technically still played every game. I think he had a couple games he had, like, a 0% or 1% snap percentage. So, that's tough. My second one, Javonte Williams, RB1. Ouch. Guy, I think he got hurt week, you know, five or six really early on. So, that's a
bummer. Week one was really good. Yeah. Got a lot of targets in week one.
Yeah, he did. Third one,
targets, that was big.
Yeah. Javonte's now that he's got Sean Payton as his coach, I'm pretty hyped for him in Dynasty.
Yeah. If he can whoever their RB2 is next season, I'm gonna be drafting very heavily in redraft for sure. I don't know if they're gonna bring someone else in. I don't think it's gonna be Melvin Gordon.
Melvin Gordon's on the Chiefs.
That completely evaded my mind.
He got Chase. Cut, and he's on the Chiefs. He might get a ring if they can beat the Eagles.
Yeah.
How funny is that?
Let's see. They got what? Melvin. Chase Edmonds and Latavius Murray are the running backs right now.
Mm-hmm. Chase Then Mike Edmonds. Boone is there also? Or
Oh, yeah. He's eternal.
He's hurt, though. Javonte Williams got hurt in week four.
Mm-hmm.
It was devastating.
Rough.
That was like the worst night of my life. Day of my life.
You're talking about
dramatic.
One of the bigger Javonte Williams fans right here. Have him in so many leagues. It was rough. But my third one was the one I probably got the closest on. That was Ramondre Stevenson would lead all running backs in rushing touchdowns. And he wasn't the leader, but he had a really good season. You know, Jamal Williams just killed it. And I'm sure some regression is coming his way, but that was the one that I was closest on for my bold take.
And I consider your third one like a massive W, because even though, like, you know, like leading rusher, like it's a bold take for a reason, but just his draft capital in redraft, you know, just being that high on him and then seeing the season that he had, I think he was like a top 15 running back at the end of the season. I don't know if he was like 11 or something like that in half PPR, but yeah, no, Ramondre was sick this year, so that's an awesome call. Yeah, looking back at these, they're really, really funny. My first one, I said Gabe Davis will finish with 8-plus touchdowns. I think on the episode, I was talking about how I didn't think that he was going to have that good of a fantasy year, but I was referring to, like, how Dalton Schultz had 10 touchdowns the year prior, and I thought that Gabe Davis would just be a touchdown machine that was very boom or bust, like a Mike Williams. He ended up having 7. So pretty close, but I didn't get that one. The next one I had, Clyde Edwards-Helaire finishing outside of the top 30 running backs. This one was pretty interesting in the beginning because there was probably not a player I was more vocal about on Twitter about not drafting this year than CEH. I'm a big CEH hater. And I got like so many people clapping back that liked him because he finished inside the top 20 for the first 4 weeks with 10 or more fantasy points and half PPR. And then after that, he just completely collapsed. And, you know, we have McKinnon and Pacheco who are running the show in Kansas City now. He ended up finishing as the RB46, one spot below Kenyon Drake on the season. So that was my one win.
Yeah,
my one win of the three. And then my last one was a big fail. I said that Kenneth Gainwell was going to outscore Miles Sanders this season. I think Miles Sanders was the RB13 in half PPR. But Derek, I think we could both agree that Gainwell's looked very good in the playoffs so far.
I was going to say, all you have to do is add in the NFL playoffs.
Yeah.
And you could be right.
What do you think of him for Dynasty? Because, you know, he's a young back. Do you think he's going to be your future running back?
I think the way I feel with the Eagles running backs now, with Jalen Hurts like clearly entrenched as the starter for, I mean, you can't predict the future, but at least 2 years probably.
Definitely.
I mean, I don't see why it wouldn't be. I mean, we thought that about Wentz, and that didn't really work out. But their upside is capped by the rushing quarterback. You look at the Baltimore Ravens running backs, and they're capped. Mm-hmm. You look at Justin Fields' running backs this year, David mm-hmm. Montgomery and Khalil Herbert. They got in close. Justin Fields is a bigger threat to run it in than those running backs at that point. And so what we saw this year, I'm going to expect more of the same. I mean, it got into the Super Bowl. So I'm not really high on the Eagles running backs because the best rushing touchdown upside on the team is the quarterback.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you there. And I don't know if you listened to, I want to say it was Tuesday's episode of the Footballers. Jason was talking about how Kyle did research on James Conner with his splits with Kyler Murray and without Kyler Murray. And James Conner was like way more productive without Kyler Murray for kind of the same reasons of, you know, when they get the ball down inside the 10, a lot of the time Kyler Murray likes to run it in.
That's so interesting.
A lot of those players.
All right, let's talk about mine. I feel pretty good about them. I mean, I can still justify them, even though none of them were actually right. My first one was that DeAndre Hopkins would lead the team in touchdowns despite missing the first six games. And he only played nine games, but, I mean, Marquise Brown got hurt. Rondell Moore got hurt. Greg Dortch was hurt at one point. They're all hurt. All the receivers for Arizona were hurt. But he did lead the team in receiving yards in those nine games. He was pretty dang good. And he tied for the team lead in wide receiver touchdowns, so add that little caveat. He had three touchdowns. Zach Ertz led the team in receiving touchdowns with four. So that just underscores how sad the Arizona season was.
I'm giving you a W here.
Not good. You giving me a W for that one? Okay.
Like technically, no. If we're getting technical, but just calling that DeAndre Hopkins was going to come back and be he was unbelievable when he came back from suspension. Yeah.
And then he got hurt, which is that just it just undermined all the progress he made.
Mm-hmm.
My second one was Elijah Mitchell leads the NFL in rushing yards and finishes outside the top five in fantasy still. And that was because he wasn't going to have passing upside or with Trey Lance healthy goal line upside necessarily. And I got bailed out on this because he got hurt for most of the year. But when he was playing, he looked pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Week 18, he had a good game. So I will hang my hat on the week 18 performance of Elijah Mitchell.
Random fact, he's never fumbled.
Wow.
In his career?
I think even in his college and NFL, I think he's never fumbled.
Good for him.
Next season, he hasn't played enough games. He can prove to be real annoying for CMC next season with how much work he might get. Like, I think CMC is probably going to be the 101 again, and I think for good reason. Like, mm-hmm. He had an unbelievable season yet again. But I think that he's going to see, like, you know, like his 10-plus carries a game when he's healthy.
Yeah, CMC is not going to be the Carolina workhorse that he was. Which, I mean, he might just get more efficient. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
My last one, DeVonta Smith, better than A.J. Brown in fantasy. And I take a semi-win here because they were both top 10. And so coming into the season, we didn't really think that was possible with Jalen Hurts at quarterback. And I think we're kind of like revisionist history with, oh, yeah, we knew Jalen Hurts was going to be amazing. That wasn't really the case. We knew he was going to be good at running, but we didn't think he could support like the wide receiver 10, DeVonta Smith, and the wide receiver 5, A.J. Brown.
Mm-hmm. He's surprised big time.
Yeah, DeVonta Smith was not better than A.J. Brown in fantasy. However, he was the wide receiver 10 and a half PPR. And props to Devontae Smith, because when he was coming into the league, what was the main concern?
Skinny boy.
BMI. Yeah.
He's going to get hurt. I mean, we're going in the Super Bowl. He ain't hurt yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had a true year two breakout, and he's just a great route runner too. He finds ways to get open and
some wood.
Make some good catches.
Gotta knock on some wood. Don't get hurt in the Super Bowl, bud.
Yeah, big time. He gives me hope for I really like Jordan Addison out of USC, looking at the upcoming rookies. And he kind of has a similar frame. He's just like an unbelievable wide receiver, but like the only knock you could really have on him is he's a skinny dude.
Wait, yeah.
So like players like Devontae Smith and, you know, you're seeing a couple of these skinny wide receivers be very good in the NFL. So you don't really need to look like DK Metcalf all the time.
I mean, look at Tyler Lockett across the field from him. He was better on the year for fantasy than DK.
Mm-hmm. I also want to give Joe Lockett, Mason some credit. I'm remembering that Mason had Jalen Hurts as his QB1 before the season in his quarterback rankings. So, yeah, we were all pretty high on him, but you were really high on him. And I think he might have beat out Josh Allen if he played all 18 games.
Oh, I'm right, curious. Yeah, because he missed two. Let me see points per game. Yeah, Jalen Hurts was tied with Josh Allen at the end of the season for points per game. And that is impacted by week 18, where Jalen Hurts had his worst game of the season and Josh Allen scored almost 23. So you take away week 18. I mean, we're picking and choosing here to fit our own narrative, but you take away week 18 and Jalen Hurts is the QB1 points per game.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty dang impressive. What was I going to say? Oh, Tyler Lockett, never get tackled. That dude does not get tackled.
No. He always goes down to the ground before he has a chance to
catch
get tackled.
Catch it and fall. Catch it and fall. He still got hurt, though. All right. Let's talk about some news around the NFL regarding coaching changes, quarterbacks, and the like. What do we got? Well, we buried the lead here. Tom Brady retired.
Mm-hmm.
On the beach.
For good now.
He's got a 26-year-old new girlfriend, I saw.
Wait, what?
That's true.
Yeah, he's got a new girlfriend that's 26. I think Gronk might have hooked him up.
Oh, my God.
But it might just be like TMZ article as of now. But, yeah, I found it funny that Zach Wilson likes to date girls that are Tom Brady's age, and Tom Brady likes girls that are Zach Wilson's age.
I saw your tweet. That was good. That was good.
I forgot to do our Super Bowl predictions. Do you want to do those at the end?
Yeah, you want to do them at the end? That's fine.
Let's do them at the end. All right, so Brady retired. The quarterbacks that have not retired, Derek Carr, Joe Mason, tell me about him.
Yeah, so later this year, actually, it's like 2 weeks away, on the 15th of this month, his salary becomes fully guaranteed if he's still on the Raiders, and part of his 2024 salary becomes fully guaranteed, $7.5 million of it. So he's got 3 years left on his deal. Personally, I think Derek Carr is going to get cut before that date. And the Raiders made that clear by benching him earlier in the season so he wouldn't get hurt. Now he's going to play in the Pro Bowl this weekend. So fingers crossed, knock on wood, he doesn't, you know, get hurt in that game. But Derek Carr also has a no trade clause. So for a team to want to trade for him, they have to come up with draft capital. He's got to waive his no trade clause and want to go there. And they're going to take on the rest of his contract. More than likely, he gets cut. He opens up his options to teams that want to, you know, sign him to a deal. And so that's what I think ultimately is probably going to happen with Derek Carr.
What team did you say you think he's going to go on?
I actually didn't, but I think if I had to pick, probably, I don't know. I think the Jets are probably a good landing spot if they don't trade for Aaron Rodgers, but you know, Tampa Bay needs a quarterback now. I could see New Orleans going after him if they don't want to stick with Winston. So there's some options, but I think teams like Indianapolis are going to try to get a quarterback. Houston's going to get a quarterback. you know, I think some of the, like, Atlanta has Ritter. So, like, I really don't think they're going to try to go get Derek Carr and pay him a lot of money.
You haven't mentioned Houston, and the word on the street is the NFL is rigged. And I know that's been shared facetiously based on how people have life-threatening injuries every week. Reading the script when you're going to break your leg in half when you're Alex Smith doesn't really seem like that would be scripted. However, wouldn't it be a perfect, neat little bow tied on the Houston franchise to have Derek Carr follow in the footsteps of David Carr and become the franchise quarterback for the Texans?
Good.
And I actually got the 102, though.
Yeah.
Well, they could, you know, they could draft a guy like Bryce Young and have him sit for a year. You know, you've seen that kind of pay off with some players, like, you know, like Mahomes, Lamar sat for half a year.
Rodgers. But
Rodgers sat for, what, 3 years. So thing is, though, when you got a guy at the 102, you kind of hope that he's ready to rock and roll, right? And doesn't need to sit, but we'll see.
All right, Aaron Rodgers, the new Jets quarterback.
Yeah, we'll see about that. I think it's so funny. Like, it would just be so Jets for us to, you know, hire Nathaniel Hackett as OC and then just be stuck holding the bag. And he goes to Las Vegas, Aaron Rodgers, to join, like, Devontae Adams again. And then we just have Nathaniel Hackett. And honestly, like,
how did he get a job so quick?
Because I don't even know. Just the belief that you could get Aaron Rodgers.
Like, do you think Nathaniel Hackett is really an upgrade over LaFleur?
No. No, not really at all.
He's Aaron's guy, though, apparently. Apparently him and Aaron are, like, really close.
Yeah, he won two MVPs with him. So,
would you want to trade two first-round picks to get Aaron Rodgers, Joe?
Not really.
Like, what if he says that he'll finish out his contract with the Jets, which would be
I guess that would be better. Yeah, that would be better. But, like, I have a lot of indifferent feelings because we didn't see that much from him this year that would make you think he has that much left in the tank. So let's say, like, he's really, you know, like, starting to get a little washed up. Like, our defense is awesome and we have a lot of offense and, like, they could use Breece Hall and run the ball a lot. So I think they could win a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers, but, like, if they don't, it's just putting us in a really bad situation. And, like, at the same time, you know, like, if like Derek Carr or Jimmy G or the other veteran options, I don't really think they're moving the needle either. So I don't know. I'm a little bit pessimistic on every single option we have right now. And because I believe that Aaron Rodgers is the only one that we, like, really would potentially win a Super Bowl with, I suppose. But, like, we have, like, the number 13th overall pick in the draft. Like, you're trading for a super old quarterback that doesn't want to be with the team. I don't know.
I could retire after any year.
That's what I'm saying. And he carries so much drama and BS at this age.
Is the Zach Wilson experiment just done?
I can't say it is with this organization.
It's just crazy. Like, they just failure after failure.
Yeah, it's bad. Every other position we're hitting on, though, recently, I think Joe Douglas is awesome. It's just, we picked the wrong quarterback.
What are we at now? Darnold, Wilson, Sanchez.
Mm-hmm.
Like, trading for Joe Flacco.
Might as well just go after Geno Smith again.
Yeah, Geno Smith was a miss.
Yeah, if he won a Super Bowl with the Jets at this point of his career, that would be a crazy story.
The Jets are reaching Cleveland Browns level futility at quarterback.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's ugly. It's a painful existence.
If I had to bet right now, I think Derek Carr goes to the Buccaneers and signs there. I think Aaron Rodgers does get traded to the Jets. And I think Jimmy G goes to Vegas.
I like that.
That's what I would guess right now. Based on just the current openings, obviously. Like, I don't know if you guys have that Google Doc up with that screenshot from Ryan McDowell, but you got all those highlights of quarterbacks that could still be cut or traded, right? So there's potential openings still that we just don't know about.
Yeah. Gardner Minshew.
I like Minshew.
Me too.
I like him too, but I mean, he has limitations that you can't deny.
No, I mean, definitely look not.
The Eagles are a Super Bowl team, and he couldn't win one out of two games against the Saints, or I guess he lost to the Cowboys, which is valid, but like, you lost to the Saints.
Yeah, it's not good.
All right. I just want to bring up Jalen Hurts because I kind of alluded to it before, but in Dynasty, he's like a top three option now. Coming into the season, he had so many question marks about whether he was even the long-term option, and he has just really impressed me, and I just wanted to sing him some praises. For Dynasty purposes, where do you rank Jalen Hurts, Joe Mason, and Joe?
How old is he?
He's 24.
24.
He's probably going to get a big contract. Let's see. This is his third year, right? So he's due.
Yeah.
He's due for a massive.
And he has contract. No fifth-year option because he wasn't a first-round pick. So next year he's on the last year of his deal, to my understanding.
Let me think.
Yeah, I mean, name some guys ahead of him in Dynasty.
Josh Allen.
Yeah.
For me, yeah, Mahomes, Justin Herbert for me, Joe Burrow for me.
I think that's it, though. But I
isn't
think
that wild, though.
I think I'd rather have
he
Hurts
passed
over
Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I think I'd rather have Hurts over Herbert.
Wow. Okay.
But it's close.
So I would definitely rather have Herbert than Hurts. I would rather have Hurts than Lamar and Kyler. But honestly, Hurts and Trevor Lawrence, you know, I'm a big Trevor Lawrence guy. It's pretty close for me. Just because I think the longevity of Trevor Lawrence, I think that he could have a longer successful career than Hurts. I think kind of like how, you know, how we were talking about Lamar on one of the episodes a couple weeks ago, where I'm getting nervous about how many hits he's taking and how I'm treating him a little bit more like a running back. I do feel a little bit similarly with Jalen Hurts. He takes a lot of hits, and you know, he's 24 years old, but like 3 years he'll be 27. Let's see how he's running the ball, if he's still taking all these hits. It's hard for them to have healthy seasons every year.
Like, I know that I talk about the flaws in general that Keep Trade Cut has, but it is a pretty good like live barometer of things.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, February 1st, 2022, Jalen Hurts was QB 15 on there. Now he is QB 4 as of today. That's impressive. Mm-hmm. But I'm also like, do you guys have any concerns that Jalen Hurts could fall by the trajectory of Carson Wentz?
I think Joe brings up some good points about his rushing. Like, I think if you look at before and after his injury, like now, I mean, obviously he's not like going full, he's not lowering his shoulder and hitting people anymore because he's had the shoulder injury, right? I think if he can learn how to slide in those situations, mm-hmm. he can definitely, you know, not have that be an issue. Because even Josh Allen does it where he like runs, you know, full speed into people, and he needs to just chill, dude. Just go
a little
slide.
Bit. Yeah, I feel the same way about Josh Allen.
I don't think he'll drop off like Carson Wentz. I think Wentz was in a perfect situation, and obviously, I mean, he had a really good year that year. I just think, you know, he obviously had some. They lost their OC, right? Frank Reich went to the Colts, and it's tough having to learn a new offense. And I know they're not that different; like it's kind of similar, but you know, I don't think. When you paired Sirianni with Hurts, you know, he doesn't have to. That's why I think it's important to, when you have a stud quarterback, pair him with an offensive-minded coach. You don't have to, like, relearn a bunch of stuff if you lose your OC somewhere.
Mm-hmm. I guess my question for you both is, when you're evaluating dynasty players in general, I guess of any position, are you more looking at, like, their career trajectory when you're talking about these young players? Or are you looking more in like a 3, 4, 5 year window? Because that's what would really matter for me with Jalen Hurts, whether we're like talking about like if we're talking about a 3-year window, then I definitely have him above Trevor Lawrence. But I just think that, yeah, Lawrence is going to be good for a lot longer. I think he's going to last versus where Jalen Hurts, I think he's going to be really, really amazing, like what we saw from Lamar Jackson during his MVP years, and then kind of sizzle off a little bit where he's just, you know, he's a QB1 for fantasy, but maybe not as elite as you see in these next couple of seasons that I'm expecting from him.
Yeah, I think it kind of depends on your team, right? Like, I mm-hmm. think you have to look at it in both ways, kind of like you said, like a 2-3-year window or like a 1-year window, 1-2-year window where you're like, all right, I'm trying to win. Because that's the goal of a fantasy. Even though it's dynasty, you like want to try to win also, exactly. Right? So yeah. It kind of depends on the status of your team. And I'm always a big fan of getting the value and the depth. So if I could move him for Trevor Lawrence and something else, I'd probably do it just because I'm like, he won't score as many points as Hurts, but he'll still have some really good weeks where it's not that far off. And mm-hmm. I also got like a late first or like a, you know, I don't know who's a player I would add to him that I would be cool with it. Like, I don't know. I bet somebody would trade like Hockenson and Lawrence to get Jalen Hurts. You know, if you needed a tight end, I'd be cool with that.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I got super distracted by all this news coming out about Joe Mixon.
I saw that. Yeah.
What's going on?
Apparently Joe Mixon pointed a gun at a woman and said, "You should be popped in the face. I should shoot you. The police can't get me." So he has a warrant out for his arrest.
Yeah. That happened about 30 minutes ago, or at least the reports came out, but Sleeper didn't post it until about, what, like 5 minutes ago?
There. I haven't seen it. Yeah, this is my first time hearing about any of this. I've had my phone down for a little bit too long. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Especially with his...
Not good.
Especially with his college altercation that he had with mm-hmm. a woman, too. It doesn't look good for Mixon.
That's what I was thinking about.
And apparently that happened based on the affidavit or whatever it's called, back on the 21st. So did the team know about this? Is that why he played barely in the AFC Championship?
Yeah, Samaje Perine got snapped him by 20% or something like that.
If he gets moved, that would open up a great fantasy option. You saw what Perine could do, just getting some touches. And sometimes with running backs, they just got to be on a good offensive team. They don't even need to be talented, and they can put up some good points. So we'll see what happens. Something to monitor.
Could you imagine if Mixon's gone there, and then they somehow get Bijan Robinson?
What if they get like Kareem? What if they sign Kareem Hunt? Would you be interested in Kareem Hunt's dynasty value? I feel like that he'd have like a rebound. I
mean, is that the best PR move after you had to cut ties with a guy who pointed a gun at someone?
Yeah, probably take not, the kicker.
Taking Kareem Hunt. Apparently, this happened like literally downtown Cincinnati.
I don't know how you do that.
I don't know either.
Like it said on the affidavit, it says location of offense, 300 Walnut Street. That's just like right outside of a huge skyscraper. And I'm like,
we've got Derek Logan, Cincinnati native on he knows all the streets for us.
No, I don't. I had to look it up. I definitely don't. But yeah, it's like right outside the baseball stadium, not far from the Paycor Stadium where the Bengals play. So I don't know if that's just like a general location, but geez. We were talking about Jalen Hurts, and I got sidetracked. And I think my only concern about Jalen Hurts is whether you can keep the rushing up, like you had mentioned. But the thing that I'm not worried about Jalen Hurts with that was a problem for Carson Wentz was the mental stuff. Carson Wentz, the more the years went on, you realize he was not cut out to play in Philadelphia. Jalen mm-hmm. Hurts is built for Philadelphia.
Agreed.
He can take the pressure. He is a natural-born leader. Carson Wentz has a lot of great tools. He's good at football, but he wasn't cut out mentally to be a competitor in that environment, and he's proven that he wasn't cut out to be a competitor really anywhere.
Harsh words, but true.
I mean,
he's a dynasty buy for me. I think it's just Price is so cheap.
Carson Wentz is a dynasty buy.
Oh yeah, I've seen trades go down with him for like a fourth.
I'd rather trade for Tom Brady right now.
Oh my gosh! Wait, what was the bet on the ballers? It was like, who has the longer career, Carson Wentz or
somebody else?
It might have been Tom Brady.
It could have been.
It was like, who retires first? Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if Carson Wentz retires in like 2 years at like 33. Because he doesn't seem like he cares that much. He's got his like Wentz outdoor company. He loves hunting. Probably has enough money built up to be fine. He's going to quit.
Might be in his best interest. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not going that far. Duke can he's still huge. He can still throw hard. We'll see.
He'd be good for developing a young quarterback if he's on a roster, regardless.
That's the thing that I disagree.
Maybe he's not, actually. Maybe I take this all back.
I don't think he's a good backup. I think that's why he's going to retire, because he doesn't want to be a backup.
Yeah. Something that always gets me really riled up about, like, just like fans in general, is I hate when people are like, this guy needs to retire. You know, like when people are like actively like commenting like on comment sections, like, this guy should just retire. It's like, this is this guy's job. Like,
I'm not saying he should retire.
No, I'm not talking about you. I'm just talking about people in general.
I hate seeing that. Yeah. I don't know though. Maybe Tua should retire.
Well, that might be in his best interest.
Yeah.
But he's cleared.
He's cleared? I thought last time I saw he was still in the concussion protocol.
I'm pretty sure he just got cleared
he did
yesterday or
oh my goodness.
So
alrighty. Let's do our Super Bowl picks and wrap it up.
Sticking with Joe's the Chiefs.
Alright, here we go.
Yeah, just Joe sticking with the Bellner Chiefs.
Picks the Chiefs. Are you going over or under 50.5?
Over.
That's a pretty high line.
It is.
Let's go over.
Okay.
Let's go over.
I'm going to take Philly in the under, because the Eagles like to run the ball.
Mm-hmm. I think that if you're picking Philly, you're picking the under.
Yeah.
And if you're picking the Chiefs, you're picking the over. Because there is no way that if it's going over 50.5 points, that the Eagles are going to win that game. In my opinion.
I mentioned it last week when we were doing the NFC Championship picks, but the Eagles' defense is predicated on not allowing big plays,
mm-hmm.
which, if you're allowing sustained drives, you're killing the clock. The number of possessions is limited in that case. I don't know the numbers in front of me, but I probably guess that the Eagles' games in close games probably usually hit unders, unless the Eagles were blowing them out. I mean, they only lost one game when Jalen Hurts was the quarterback. Mm-hmm. I'm taking the under, assuming that the Eagles can control the ball, run the ball, prevent big plays from the Kansas City Chiefs, which forces the Chiefs to have long, sustained drives. And with all those injuries they have, I don't know if they can pull it off. I mean, the practice reports this week, I mean, we're still early. They still have plenty of time to rest. Hardman is hurt again. Juju is hurt. Tony is hurt. Kelsey was hurt coming into the game.
All of these guys are always hurt. Every name listed.
MVS, believe it or not, is not hurt. Justin Watson, I think, was hurt.
Yeah, there's a 2-week window now, so they'll have a little bit of time to rest up. But yeah, it sounds like
Mahomes is hurt.
Sounds like Hardman's not going to play.
Mm-hmm. Which I don't think it matters.
I mean, the short time frame for recovery on the injury that Mahomes had, it was like 3 weeks. So as of the Super Bowl Sunday, that'll be 3 weeks since he suffered that injury. But then he played on it, and he was clearly hobbled. He definitely wasn't 100%, nowhere near it. And so if you're not 100% in the Super Bowl, I'm not saying the Chiefs can't win, but it definitely puts them at a disadvantage.
Maybe I'm delusional. Maybe this is a flaw. But I just always believe that Mahomes figures it out. No matter, like, you could tell me, you could list every single thing that's wrong and every single thing that says how great the Eagles defense is, because I know it and I believe it too. I just always think that Mahomes is going to figure it out, and that's why I pick him. What about you, Mason?
Yeah, I'm going with the Chiefs in the over. These are the two best teams in the league, and so it should make for a really good Super Bowl. But I just think when you got Mahomes, he just finds a way, right? He's already honestly one of the best quarterbacks ever, just by what he could do. And yeah, it'll be a good Super Bowl. Like I said, two of the best teams. Got to give credit to both these teams. It should be an entertaining game.
I saw Schefter just got the Joe Mixon news. So now now it's hitting the casuals.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing I'll add about, like, the Eagles defense had so many sacks. Mahomes, his escapability is one of his biggest strengths. If he's not able to escape the pocket and the Eagles can just collapse it the whole game, they're in trouble. Yeah. Yes, I'm a biased Eagles fan, but I also know a ton about the Eagles team. I know what their strengths are. I know what their weaknesses are. Their weaknesses are stopping third and shorts. Their strengths are getting pressure on the quarterback on third and longs. If they can get the Chiefs into third and longs, good luck trying to score on the Eagles.
What about that sack on Josh Johnson by Riddick on his first snap?
Is that where he got a concussion? No, he
didn't get it wasn't even. Snap. No, that was just the one that he got sacked and they stripped the ball. They just took it like right out of his hands.
Oh, yeah, but they didn't give the ball to the Eagles.
No, but no, it was yeah, just, that, just, was, that
just,
was.
He took him down and just got up with the ball. Yeah, it's awesome.
That was devastating.
Yeah.
The Eagles could not have done better in the offseason than they did.
Mm-hmm.
Every single move hit, even literally the midseason ones, getting Sue and Joseph, that's been so helpful. James Bradbury, hit. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, hit.
Yeah.
Hassan Reddick, hit. A.J. Brown, hit. Even Zach Pascal is out there blocking, hit.
They've done everything perfect to lose to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Oh, shut up. Oh, man. And with that, we're going to close out the show. And in 2 weeks, when Joe Beldner's back on the show, I can gloat with the Eagles' victory in the Super Bowl.
Maybe that's why I'm taking vacation, so I don't have to hear about it.
Little sneak peek. I'm speaking it. I'm manifesting it. We're trying to get Brian Ketron on the show next week to talk about the Eagles and talk more about the Super Bowl. We'll have some better answers about what injuries the Chiefs are facing, what injuries, if any, the Eagles are facing. Some of those guys are banged up. Their left guard's hurt. Right guard has a torn groin. I mean, right tackle has a torn groin. But they're going to play through it. Speaking into existence, Brian Ketron, the biggest loser, is going to be on the show next week. Anything to add before we close it out?
I don't think so. I want to wish you good luck with your Eagles, even though I'm going with the other team. If I'm rooting for the Eagles for any reason, it's so that they win for you and your family Eagles fans, or is it just you?
It's me plus like my parents back home and my sister.
There we go. We'll root for the Eagles for the Logans, but let's go Chiefs in the Beldner household.
Yeah, I'm gonna ditto that. I'll have a soft spot in my heart for the Eagles for you, Derek, but I'm rooting for the Chiefs.
That was a nicer way of saying what I was trying to say.
Okay, I appreciate it. Friendship. And with that, this is the Almost Sunday Fantasy Football Podcast. We'll be back next week. Only, what is it? How many days till the Super Bowl? 10 days till the Super Bowl. Have a great rest of your week. We'll see you next week. Bye.